Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning the 40th Perek, Perek Mem of Sefer Iyov. This Perek is fascinating. The general topic is the Behemoth and the Leviathan. We're going to take a look at this Perek of 32 Psukim. But before we get into the main speech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, we have a very brief interlude with HaKadosh Baruch Hu interfacing with Iyov directly, and then the speech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the second speech that the Almighty makes. The first two psukim are when Hashem turns to Iyov after making his first speech about his power and precision over nature. He says, "Haroiv im shaka yisor moichiach eloka ya'anena." So he asks him. He says, "You know, you accused me. You accused me of not explaining and letting you suffer." The way the Malbim understands this is, now that I've removed your suffering, so he put the suffering on hold for a moment. He says, "Do you have anything more to argue with?" Meaning to say, is there anything else left on your mind now that we're in this debate? And Iyov responds in the next two psukim, Gimel, Dalet, and actually even Hey, three psukim. He says, "Hein kaloisi mai ashiveka. I am so embarrassed. I've been so disgraced. What can I say to you? Your di samti lamoi fima. My hand is over my mouth." And then he says, "Atadi barti v'loyene ushtayim v'loyosif." You spoke one, but I had two, and then I'm not going to ask anymore. It sounds like Iyov is asking for something else. What is he asking for? What does this mean? The way that the Malbim understands this is that he had asked about tzaddik v'raloi, how the righteous suffer, and how v'rasha v'tovloi, how the evil prosper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by answering about Hashkocha Pratis, has now essentially answered Tzadik V'raloi, but Rosh HaVetovloi has not been answered. And what he's saying is, please answer the other side of the equation, then I won't ask anything else. The Metzudas David breaks up and he says, Hashkocha Pratis, what he received the answer for, is not related to Tzadik V'raloi. He still needs two answers. So essentially what he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you answered me one, but I have two more that I would like to request from you. Whichever way we look at it, nonetheless, it seems that now he, in this debate, now that he has the zechus, the opportunity of prophecy, he is now asking for a little more explanation. So Hashem launches into his second speech, starting pasuk vov to yudale. There are 3 points to this speech. The first point is almost an "if you were God" speech. Again, Hashem speaks to him min hasa'ara or min sa'ara. He speaks to him out of a storm. We discussed that two prakim ago, what that means. And he basically says, if you were God, if I gave you all the power that I had and you could silence and you could uplift whoever you wanted, then truly and surely you would remove anybody who is too powerful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, taunts or questions Iyov. Why don't you go ahead? Why don't you do what it is that you are doing? V'gam ani oideka ki soishia lecha yaminecha. I will agree if you were to be able to do everything you said, to perform all the justice against the Rishayim that you said. And at this point in time in the speech, it's not clear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting at. What is it that he is taunting or questioning Iyov to do? Which leads us to the last 2 points of this perek. The second point deals with the Bahamos, or the Behemoth, as is transliterated. He describes this huge land animal, and there's lots of very beautiful descriptions about this behemoth and what it does and how terrifying it is. But he describes it as one of the most powerful creatures on earth. And the question seems to be is, wouldn't that be the first question you would have to remove with your newfound powers of equalization? Then he moves on to the third and last point in this perek, where he now moves away from the behemoth and he talks about the Leviathan. The Leviathan, the greatest sea creature, the most terrifying sea creature. And he asks him, will you catch it? Will you hunt it? Will you negotiate with it? How will you get rid of it? The only way you can possibly do it is to kill it, remove it, and feed it to others. So there's a very, very fascinating discussion. What is going on over here? What's the logic of this perek? How does this work exactly? The section on the behemoth is from Sukkim Utesvov to Chav Beis, and the section on the Leviathan is from Chav Gimel to Lamed Beis. So what's going on? What's this underlying logic? But before we get to even the underlying logic, we need to ask ourselves, what is the behemoth? What is the Leviathan? Most of the classic Mephoshim say that the behemoth is a very, very large animal. They don't specify what the large animal is. And clearly the Leviathan is some sort of large sea creature, carnivorous sea creature, it seems. Many of the Mepharshim, based on some oblique references in Chazal, suggest that we're talking about fantastical, metaphysical creatures, and creatures which we'll understand or will confront at the end of times. So it's, so to speak, whether it be metaphoric, whether it be mystical, creatures that exist. One is a land-based creature, and one is a sea-based creature. And there are many very beautiful Ma'amrei Chazal which discuss these ideas. You know, the idea of the Suras Leviathan, the end of time, and the Sukkah Shel Leviathan. There's a lot of interesting discussions about this, and the Leviathan as it appears in the Midrashim about Ma'ase Veracious. There's a lot of interesting discussions over here. There are others who move away from the mystical and say that there must be some sort of practical application as to what these animals truly are. So one example is a very beautiful and very, very fascinating suggestion, which is made by Rabbi Natan Slufkin in his book published with the OU, the Torah Encyclopedia of the Animal Kingdom. And it's a very beautiful a description. He points out that there's a number of descriptions here in these psukim about this behemoth, this behamois. One is that he eats grass like an ox. Well, would you know, there's one animal which a lot of these applications address, and that is, in fact, the hippopotamus. The hippopotamus is the second largest land-based creature today, and in the land of Israel, which is where this prophecy is likely to be centered, was obviously the largest creature. The hippopotamus did live all around the land of Israel. It died out, although we certainly have the bones of hippo around Israel. There obviously are a number in zoos now, but it actually lived in this particular area, and therefore was the biggest creature that anybody had access to. It was also a creature which many of the Mepharshim in Europe did not see. They never saw a hippopotamus. It fits almost all of the descriptions where it talks about it eats grass like an ox. The hippopotamus is a herbivore, eats a huge amount of grass every night. It has the strength of its loins. The hippopotamus can run almost the same speed, faster than a human being, at 18 miles an hour in short bursts. The power of its belly, a hippopotamus can run up to 4 tons, 4 feet, 5 feet high, and maybe 15 feet in length for a male. We're talking about also the description of its tail, like a cedar. There's some interesting descriptions here. There are some questions on that part of the description. His bones are like tubes of bronze. His limbs are like bars of iron. So it's interesting, you know, we always have these funny pictures of and cartoons of it. But just to point out that, in fact, today there are more people killed by hippopotamuses in Africa than lions, elephants, and buffaloes combined on an annual basis. They're one of the most dangerous creatures. They will destroy anything that gets in their way, attack boats, attack humans, attack buses, cars. It describes how large his mouth is. In fact, it opens up his mouth like the river. What's interesting is that a hippopotamus has the capacity to open its mouth to 150 degrees because the actual hinge of the jawbone is so far back, as opposed to, let's say, a human being who open their mouth only 45 degrees. One of the descriptions is he takes the river in his eyes and his nostrils are as though pierced by hooks. Could be describing how the hippo waits with just its nostrils and eyes and ears above the water level. Very, very fascinating. What's the point of this? Whether it be a fantastical, mystical creature, whether it be a practical creature, which is to talk to people who would understand this. What is the point of all of this? How does this perek add up? So Mitzvah says the following. If you really were a tzaddik, gomor, then you could exact justice on all the creation, then yes, you could. But can you overcome the strongest forces in this world? Let me give you some of the strongest forces in the world. Let me talk to you about those strongest forces. Here is the behemoth. Here's the Leviathan. Another way of looking at it is the way Rav Moshe Eisman in his Pirush on Iyov explains it. And he says, look, you say that you would change the way I run the world, but you don't understand the natural ecosystems. You don't understand how even the greatest herbivore and the greatest carnivore, the behemoth and the Leviathan, can coexist and be part of the system themselves. Iyov, you want to adjust the system, but you don't understand that everything is interconnected. Another way of looking at this is the way the Al-Sheikh says. He says, you, kind of harping back to the previous parakim, you think you understand everything, but you don't even understand why I created fantastical creatures like the behemoth and the Leviathan. You don't even understand that basic principle. And finally, the Malbim's perspective is the following, and this is very tenable. The Rambam says like this: Eov, you said if you had a magic wand, you would get rid of all the evildoers, and you would take anybody who has power, and you'd take that power away from them. But that means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have created a world where everything was weak and everything was powerless. But that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a system that had power arcs, that had checks and balances within that ecosystem, that had predators and that had herbivores, that had omnivores, a system which all worked together. If you were to try to eradicate all evil in the world, then you know what? You would have to even eradicate all carnivores. You'd have to eradicate all powerful animals in the world. Eov, would you be willing to do that? And if you're not willing to do that, then aren't you willing to accede that the system is a little more complex than meets the human eye? This is what it comes down to. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, into this world of complexity, I allow the space for choices to be made, for human beings to make good choices and human beings to make bad choices, for human beings to elevate the system and for human beings to corrupt the system. I was recently reading the autobiography of Frederick Douglass, and he describes, he was an African-American slave who was liberated, and he describes how slavery is able to corrupt the mind, not just of the slave, but the master, or as politically correct today, the enslaver. And that ultimately, that people make choices, and those choices can affect them and corrupt their own minds. That's what is being said over here, says the Malbim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm leaving space for evil people. I'm leaving space for complexity and power in this world in order that that power can be checked and put into balance. But don't for a moment say, Eov, that it's so simple just to whitewash evil out and power out of this world. With this, we conclude Perek Mem. We look forward to continuing Perek Mem Aleph tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.